Our scripture today is the visit of the Magi. So you've heard this many times, hear it again with some new ears. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this is our third and final week in the series, Making Room for Jesus. We'll actually talk about, I guess, our fourth one on Christmas Eve. But today we're talking about making room for the Magi. And we're going to start off by doing something I can pretty much guarantee you have never done in a church service before. At least I have never done it. We are going to check our horoscope. All right. Who's got a sign they want me to check?
Leo.
All right, Leo. This is for the 17th today through the 23rd. It's no secret that balancing your demanding career with your personal life is a challenge, but everything will go your way if you make your lover feel like he or she is your top priority. And your lucky number is 11. All right, another one. What'd you say?
Cancer and Scorpio.
Cancer and Scorpio. Okay, let's do Cancer first. Don't be shy about speaking your mind when it comes to a bully at work. You may not get a second chance to stand up for yourself. All right? Your lucky number is 1. All right, here's Scorpio. Okay, here comes Scorpio. That's me too. Just when you think no one appreciates all of your hard work and sacrifices, a loved one surprises you with a sentimental token of thanks. Your lucky number is 4. Sagittarius? All right. At long last, a plethora of game-changing work and romantic opportunities are coming your way. But it'll be up to you to choose the most important ones. Lucky number 7.
Virgo.
All right, Virgo, last one. You've made yourself indispensable at work the past few weeks. While the job security is great, you now have to figure out how to wrangle some time off. Lucky number 8. All right. These are so lame. You may be a horoscope person, and I'm not criticizing you, but these are really lame. I'm not big into horoscopes. I mean, I could have written every one of these. Okay, I mean, I could go off on a whole thing on horoscopes, but there's a reason why we're looking at these today. I might not pay much attention and give much credence to what the stars in the sky are pointing to, but the Magi did. Probably not like this. But the wise men were astrologers. It says they were looking at the stars and they saw a star that was doing something different than it was supposed to be doing. And they were curious. You know, there's been different talks about what the star was. Some people say, oh, maybe it was a comet, or maybe it was like a supernova, or Jupiter and Saturn conjunction really bright in the sky. I don't care about that stuff either. I don't think that's really what matters. I don't think any of this is what really matters. I think what really matters is that the Magi went on a quest. I think that's the point. The point is this quest they decided to go on. They saw some sign and they thought it pointed to a new king, and they were compelled to see for themselves. So they headed out. They were seekers. They were on a quest, and they didn't know what their journey was going to be. We think maybe they came from Persia, you know, so they had a long journey ahead of them. They had foreign terrain they had to deal with they probably wouldn't have been on before. They would have had animals, predators that they'd have to fend off, maybe robbers along the road. And they definitely had political intrigue with King Herod, but they were undeterred. They went on this quest, and they did it with hope. So I think that there's two main ways to journey, two main ways to go into the future in your life. You can go with a sense of anxiety or with a sense of adventure. And these are my definitions. I think that anxiety is risk plus fear. You've got risks up ahead and you're afraid of them. So it's like this sense of impending doom. And that's one way to journey through life, with anxiety. On the other hand, there's adventure. And my definition of adventure is risk plus hope. So when you are taking on an adventure, you're going into something unknown, might be even scary, but you have hope that God's with you on the way and God's going to be at your destination. And you have hopes that the journey is successful and it may even be fun along the way. So, how do you journey? Are you an anxious journeyer or an adventurous journeyer? And can you make room for adventure like the Magi did? Is Advent an adventure for you? Do you see the word Advent is in adventure? I didn't even plan that. It just happened. We talk about faith journeys all the time. Oh, how's your faith journey? What's your faith journey been like? Oh, how are you journeying in your relationship with God? But we never talk about the journey as an adventure. And I'm guilty of this, but I think we should. If we talked about our faith journey as an adventure and really did it, people would flock to the churches. Instead of playing video games for adventure or watching thrillers or going to escape rooms. I love all three of those, by the way. But if we focused on adventure in the church, I think people would treat Christianity differently. Be kind of like adventure sports, like bungee jumping or hang gliding. People would look to grace for the ride of their lives. That would be so cool. And that is not what most churches have to offer. But that journey that the Magi took, I want that. I want the quest. I want the journey. I don't want Christmas, for instance, to just drop in my lap. I want to be a seeker of it. I want the mystery. I want even obstacles that I have to overcome. I want puzzles that I have to figure out. I want to feel my heart beating. Not just at Christmas. I want my whole faith life to feel like that. How about you? Well, how much adventure do you put into your faith life? I don't think I put enough into mine. we could definitely use to bring more of that into the church. You know, that's something our in-reach team that has started meeting, that's something we might talk about, how to have more adventure. But what can we do? What does that look like? What can we individually do to transform our fear into hope, anxiety into adventure, and help us kind of rekindle the quest that this is supposed to be? I made a list. I made a list of 8 things. They may be helpful, they may not. I made it for me, but I made it to share with you all too. You might want to jot some of these down. There's 8 things. Feel free to get out your phone if you want. You don't have to write them down. They might not be that worthwhile. But maybe you can pick out 1 or 2. So first, 4 big things. These are big, deliberate things you can do to build more adventure into your faith journey. And they might not seem like big things, but if you really go deep in these ways, you will discover adventure in your faith life. So here's the 4 big things. First, simplest thing, make a timeline. Get out a piece of paper and put your birthday, when you were born, and today's date on the other side, and then just draw and graph your life story, the highs and the lows, the most crucial things that have happened in your life, and, you know, make the peaks and the valleys, valleys, and just look at how you've traveled in your life, and then look back and see how you experienced God during those times. The point of making a timeline is to recognize you've already been on a wild ride. We don't always remember that we have been on an adventure. So make a timeline, look at it. The second thing is pretty obvious, but take some risks. You're not going to be journeying in faith if you aren't willing to risk something. So here's some examples of risks you could do. Tell somebody else, a friend even, family members, share about your past adventures, exciting things you've done or challenges you've met, ways that you've experienced God. It's a risk to share that with somebody else. When you do that, you are on an adventure. Inviting people to come to Christmas Eve service, that's outside your comfort zone. That's a risk. But in the doing that, you feel, maybe you work up a little bit of a sweat. That sense of adventure comes through. You can serve somewhere in a risky way. Here's the biggest way to do some risks. Take a good, long look at yourself in the mirror and look at your biggest anxieties and pray about how you can replace that fear with hope. This is what's scaring me the most in my life. How can I transition from fear to hope? All right, take some risks. Make a timeline, take some risks. The third one is a broad category. Explore your spirituality. Do you know how deep we get in this service? We get about this deep. But I got to tell you, Christianity goes all the way deep. There is so much more to our faith than we can tackle on a Sunday morning. It's uncharted territory for many of us. Contemplative prayer, meditation, these things take practice and deep and open yourself up. Have you ever heard of a spiritual director? It's somebody that's like a counselor that you can go and talk to about your faith, and they help point out things. Well, have you thought about doing this? Spiritual directors, there are a bunch of them out there. If you ever want to see a spiritual director, talk to me and I'll find one for you. There's all kinds of things you can do. Heck, you could visit a monastery. People go and visit monasteries for a few days they have workshops and things you can go to. I spent a week in a monastery. I told you about it before. It's all silence. And it changed my life. I used to be really loud, and now I'm very soft-spoken. So those three, make a timeline, take some risks, explore your spirituality. And the fourth big serious one is pay some serious homage to Christ. The Magi chose their most valuable possessions to give to Jesus. What do you have that is worth as much as gold, frankincense, and myrrh? I'm not talking about your money, or maybe I am talking about your money, but I'm really talking about what of who you are can you truly offer to Christ? A sacrificial gift. You know, they say, give till it hurts. I say, give until you feel chills. That kind of giving, that kind of paying homage, think about. So the four deep ones, make a timeline, take some risks, explore your spirituality, pay some serious homage to Christ. Now, those are deeper ones. Maybe you're ready to dive into some of those, maybe not. Here are some less deep ones, four less deep ones to talk about. Some of these you can do with your family, too, as a family. First one, I saw a version of this on Facebook. I think it's a brilliant idea. Instead of doing Elf on a Shelf, hide the wise men from your manger scene. And then each day, they're taking their journey to see Christ. And then on Christmas, boom, they show up in the manger scene. How cool is that? That's that journey. That's the adventure that they've been on. You can think about that too. Isn't that? That's really cool, isn't it? That's a good one. Second one, Christmas light scavenger hunt. So you go on, this is a journey driving around town, and you make a list first of things to identify and see when you're out driving around. So a Santa Claus decoration, a house with a nativity scene, a house with a giant inflatable snowman, a house with blue lights on it, candles in the window. That's my house. You can do that. And the first person that sees them all wins the quest. That's kind of fun. That reminds you of adventure. Third thing, embrace side quests. So in video games, who are my video game players here? All right. In video games, you have quests you go on. You have a main quest line. Our main quest line is getting from here to Christmas. But you also have side quests, things that you can do that don't necessarily go to the finish line, but they take you in new directions. Embrace those side quests, the office party you have to go to. How can you turn that in and find signs of hope there? Maybe just one little conversation. How about you find out the last minute your child needs a dozen Christmas cookies and you're making Christmas cookies at 11 o'clock at night? How can you find hope and joy in that side quest? Dinner with Aunt Lulu. Side quest. So you get a sense. Even buying a new set of tires before your trip. How can you seek out and find some glimpse of hope in that side quest? That will make your whole life more of an adventure. And here's the fourth. Well, those three. Elf on a Shelf, wise men. Christmas light, scavenger hunt. Embrace side quests. And the fourth one is travel a different road. When the Magi left to go home, it says they went home by a different road. That was because of the threat of Herod that they did that. But the idea is a great idea to travel a different road. If it takes 12 minutes for you to get to work, take 14 minutes and go a different route. If you're going to school a certain way every day back and forth, wearing ruts in the road, try a different way and just see what's different around you. So those are four little ways to just boost a little adventure in your life. Those are just eight things I made a list of. What are some things you can think of that might encourage you to turn a season like this, but really your whole life, from a journey of anxiety to a journey of adventure? I'd like for you to turn to folks around you and talk about that for a few minutes. Amen.